It's 11:20. We've got our sister, Queen Sister, in studio. We will be also live on our Facebook and YouTube channel. So while you quickly log into that, tell a friend to do so as well.
Jesus finds you. Just hold on and I'll find you. Where you are. CCFM.
My feel good radio station.
Feel good radio station.
Makes me feel good.
107.5.
Changing lives for good.
Right, it's 11:20 on In Season with Sake at almost at Anne Liesl. Well, for yes, today, can be Anne Liesl. In Season with Sake and Liesl. We are officially live on our YouTube and also on our Facebook page. Now, over the past month, we've looked at, some of the factors that influence believers' behavior and how our measure of faith has the power to divert and subdue any negative situation. Now, today, we are wrapping it all up. We are concluding our segment on behavior influence by taking a closer look at Liesl's life. Her life before she encountered God, you know, for those who've read the book, was scattered with poor choices, selfish behavior, and frivolous living. Long after she had made all those poor moral choices, she still existed under the cloud of the echoes of whispers that had no interest in doing her justice. Today, she's joining us live in studio. We're live on Facebook, Instagram, and Liesl is using her life coaching practice, Kintsukuro Consulting, her publishing house, Kintsukuro Book House, and her book, Beautifully Flawed, to inspire and support others who have faced similar struggles, emphasizing that being broken does not disqualify anyone from living a fulfilling life.
Sure, that line.
Sure, beautiful, right?
That line.
I think I think it also it kind of encapsulate what Kintsukuro is all about.
It does. Hey, I mean, for those who don't know, the philosophy simply means that you are more beautiful for having been broken, and it's more than just embracing those flaws.
Yeah.
It is about understanding what is laying underneath that layer that God has placed in our hearts.
Yeah.
After He took away the sin and the muck.
Sure. You look amazing as always.
Thank you, I know.
Thank you, I know. Okay. All right.
With all your humility, it's God. Of course.
How are you? Are you good?
I am good. So happy to just be here and to have been given another day to live for Christ. I think that's probably the greatest gift that we have received from Him.
Sure.
To live our life for Him and not just merely existing through our lives. So yeah, I'm good. And you, my gorgeous queen.
I'm good.
It feels like it's been like a month since I saw you physically and held onto your body. It has been, eh?
It does.
Time, the commodity that we wish we had more of, eh?
Exactly. Ooh, and we need to respect it. Hey?
Totally.
We cannot retrieve it. That is why we're going to jump straight into it.
Yes, let's do that, because Rowan has not given us extra time yet. Wink, wink.
Wink, wink. Now, sis, your journey includes overcoming significant personal challenges, including cancer and divorce. What did you have to unlearn in shaping of your perspective?
Sure, my sister queen. I think one of the primary factors that really kept me in my old life was the fact that I had the inability to forgive myself, firstly. So I was constantly stuck on these questions about, you know, you should have known better when you had sex as a teenager. I blamed myself when I lost my baby when I was 16 years old and in a stillbirth. I blamed myself for that. And then another thing that I also I couldn't forgive myself was the fact that had I made better choices when I was married with their father, then there wouldn't have been such rebellious teenagers. I love you guys, hey, but they were terrible teenagers. So it was all these questions, and so as a result, I think I had to unlearn all the thoughts of the mistakes of my past that I carried throughout my life, carried throughout for 15 or odd years. I had to release them from my mind. So, and how I did that is whenever I spoke to my Father. Because whenever I spoke to, or whenever I speak to God, that is when we feel the most strongest. I don't know whether you're aware of that. That just, there's a string that comes over. So whenever I would speak to God, then I would speak to this thing that I was holding on to, or the things that I was holding on to. So I had to break free from the limiting belief that I placed on myself.
Yeah.
Everything that used to hold me back in the past. I used to believe that I couldn't speak about sex before marriage because I had sex before marriage. I believed that I couldn't speak about adultery because I was an adulterer myself as well. I couldn't speak about suicide because I tried to take my life. I couldn't speak about depression because I was depressed as well. And so the list goes on. It's a whole book full that I it was a self-limiting thought, and unlearning the belief that I couldn't speak to myself because at the time I was caught in the waves of the sin that, you know, that was over my life back then. And I had to replace it with, I can and I will speak about it because God has given me authority and I no longer live there. And because of that, it has been left behind. So the second thing, or the last thing that I also had to do, was I had to change the sound that I spoke to myself.
Sure.
I had to change the sound that I spoke to myself. I think we tend to be our worst critic, right?
Yep. Yes.
And it's mostly because when you are still stuck living in the past, then your mind is not wired properly because it's wired on past behaviors. And so I used to think that my dreams of being anything other than what the world knew of me, I would never lose that. People will always just remember Liesl of the past.
Yeah.
But then I realized that I couldn't lose what I myself was holding on to. I was holding on to that belief. So only when I then started believing that I could live an extraordinary life in Christ, that I could start talking to myself then and say, girl, you've got this. Girl, God has put you together nicely. Embrace this. Girl, do that thing that God says you must do because you qualified. If He says you qualified, then you must. So I had to speak to myself like that. And sometimes it requires you to be a little bit like extra, you know, stand in front of the mirror and speak to yourself so that you can see what God has created already. Because sometimes we see with blinkers of the past and we need to start seeing what God wants us to see. So, and then I think the last point that I want to mention is that I had to unlearn bad habits. I had to recognize that everything that served my past was no longer welcome in my current space or where God was taking me to. And that includes friends, associations, our response to life. My response to life, was I avoiding responsibility, or am I taking accountability for what I did and trying to correct it in how I do things as a secondary act? Because you can also do that to correct it. And then also the preconceived notions that I had, I need to unlearn that habit. For so long I couldn't trust older women because I was looking at every older woman through the eyes of what I experienced when I was younger, when there was not a auntie or an older lady to tell me, listen, Liesl, the fact that you're pregnant now, it doesn't mean that your life is older. And so those preconceived biases, I needed to challenge them by entrusting a conversation with somebody that I didn't know and that I needed to get to know. And so and so those are just some of the key things that I had to unlearn, my sister Queen. So the inability to forgive myself, the limiting belief that I placed on my mind that I was holding on to, and then who I gave access to, or who I allowed myself to get to know because of what they could potentially mean in my life going forward.
And if you tuned in, we'd love to hear from you. We're live on Facebook, on YouTube as well. We're wrapping up the segment around, you know, behavior influences, and today's topic is titled Unlearn, Learn and Change. And we want you to share your journey, your process of unlearning you know, those habits or behavior influences, learning new and you know, changing, embracing change. Now, Quincy's bad behavioral influences, whether one is conscious about them or not, can hinder us from living our best lives. And as you said, Uguti, we are able to live extraordinary lives in Christ, our best lives in Christ, In your experience, right, how did you recognize the manifestation of these barriers that posed a threat to you living your best life?
Sure, that I think that is such a powerful question, and it's not something that happens overnight. For me personally, it was something that I mastered observing over time, because as part of my unlearning and relearning something new, I had to become consciously aware of what I do not want to be known for tomorrow. I had to become consciously aware of what I don't want to be known for. Because everything that everyone knew before the time was who I was. So I needed to know what I wanted to be in Christ. And so for me, just to kind of model what you need, you should always start, for me, it started with the solid foundation. So in the Christian living, our solid foundation is the values that Christ says that we need to live by, right? And so I had to make like top five, but I'm going to give you four maybe now. The biggest thing that stands out for me as a value is kindness. So I knew, I wrote it then, Liesl, will always be kind, because I wasn't always treated kindly.
Sure.
I needed to write down, be humble, because there was a time where I was on such a high horse, because I was trying to prove to everyone that I was not who they said I was, that I actually became so arrogant. So humility became my second foundation. And then I needed to take compassion as my value, because I needed to have compassion on those who are still struggling on what the Lord has like literally pulled me from. So that became my third foundation. Curiosity was something I added, because I believe that if you're curious about what the person is living in now, you need to start asking questions to get understanding. So curiosity became my fourth value. And over and above that, I think I had to then embrace self-compassion. Compassion is a value of mine that I live to the world, but I also had to show myself compassion. You know, starts with ourselves, because the inability to forgive is there. We're sitting with this guilt and regret. So I had to practice the values on myself that I want to be known for in others. And for me, that meant that I had to take action, you know. I need to take action on the chains that was a daily pursuit for me. Because I wanted to be a version that I've never experienced, but I pictured it somewhere. So for me, an understanding what I did wrong or did right, a day I started journaling. That is where I believe the writer in me came out. So journaling then helped me to identify whether my behavior throughout the day modeled kindness. Did it model compassion? Liesl, were you humble all the time? Were you curious to find out why the person is where they are, so that you can know how to pray and also ensure that the enemy is offended and he doesn't do it again with somebody else? So we need to take action. If we just observe and not do anything about it, then that is what we're going to remain, observers, and it doesn't change anything inside of us.
Bystanders.
Bystanders and the naysayers commenting but not really doing anything. And it's a spirit that we need to kill. Anyways, that's a topic for another day altogether.
It is, because that too comes from a place.
It comes from a place, yes. Yeah.
0617981075. We are looking for you to share your journey of how you are learning, relearning, and embracing change with regards to behavior influences. Now, in your book Beautifully Flawed, you talk about finding strength, you know, and healing through faith. Can you just elaborate on how faith played a role in your recovery and process of relearning?
So I think for that, my sister Queen, I'm going to read an excerpt of my book. It was a message that I received from a stranger, but ultimately this message became like a map to my life. And God speaks to whomever he needs to, because their hearts are at the right place to share to us what he wants us to actually practice. And our spirit of, you know, we need to obviously test the spirit. But my message came in 2010. It was in the winter of 2010. I was in Otsuan. So this woman was unbeknown to me. She doesn't know the Liesl of old. She only spoke what God gave her. And she said the following. She said, be careful of what and who you allow in your life and the decisions that you make. Whatever you decide today, Liesl, will influence your destiny. The blessing of the Lord will follow you and it will catch up with you and then it will wait for you. When it happens, remember to share your blessings.
Sure.
Liesl, God wants your commitment. Run with abandon when God places you there on the heights. Do not be afraid. When he asks you to fall, then you jump as he will give his angels charge to watch over you, or he will give you wings to fly. And if you have not started dancing yet, Liesl, then the time has come to praise God with everything that's inside of you. And then learn from the lesson depicted in the last part of Habakkuk 3, verse 17 and 19, verses 17 and 19. And the scripture says, I need to read it to give context. Yeah. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like a deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high heels. And then she ended and she said, do not get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights. The servants of the Lord must not quarrel, but be kind to everyone. Look straight ahead. Fix your eyes on what lays before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet, then stick to the path and stay safe. And those words still today, I mean, it is 14 years later, it echoes through the ages because it was a word from God. Mm-hmm. And when he told me to write it in the book, I had to write it the way I received it.
Yeah.
I mean, when I received it, still now reading it, I cried because I was like, for me, God? Yeah. What have I done to deserve this? Yeah. And I know everyone listening today, we have all experienced the moment where we ask, God, what did I do to deserve this? And sometimes we need to remember that moment to understand that in that moment, God gave us a map. And for me, this was my map, that I need to stick to the path that the Lord has placed me on. Because the minute I move away, or I move from under the glory cloud, then I'm in danger.
Yeah.
And I'm fearful of stepping out of it because I see what the enemy does.
Mm.
And so, yeah. Yo, I can heel dag praat over die Here gedit.
Sure.
I hope I answered your question there.
Sure. Ah. My goodness. Let me pass you the tissue. Do you have a tissue there?
It's there. Yeah.
Do you have? Okay. Like, that is so beautiful. That is so beautiful. Maybe before we move on, we still have a little bit of time. Maybe before we move on, that moment when you received that message, what was going on, you know, in your mind, in your heart space? Were you receptive of it, or did you have to sit down and kind of let it sink in?
Honestly, I was in a guest house in Oudtshoorn when she left. I literally just fell to my knees. She didn't stay. She didn't like stay for coffee. She said, I need to leave now. That was how obedient this woman was. And when she stepped out, the weight of the word was so overwhelming. I remember falling to my knees and crying. I just said, Lord, I don't see it, but I felt it. And because I felt it, that became my hope for every winter, every autumn, every season that I faced after that. That became the thing that it was my map. It was the promise. It was part of the promise, but it all was also, you need to do this in order to get this.
Yeah.
I needed to be obedient to his word.
Sure.
It's even today, it's too big for me. Mm-hmm. Like, ooh, like, I will chase after you, and when I catch up with you, remember to share them. That it makes no sense.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm experiencing the promise today
because
I can feel how God has equipped me with with knowledge and understanding beyond what I studied for, and so I'm using what he has gifted me with to be a blessing and to exalt his name.
Sure. And you're doing just that. You
were
doing this just that. And I love how you also mentioned that, you know, while you were going through, you know, your recovery through faith, and you started journaling, and you said maybe that's when you birthed the writer in you.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
you never knew, Kuti, that was
Kintsukuro Consulting. Back then, I didn't know.
Goodness, the Lord is good. The Lord is really good.
Amazingly good.
My goodness, for those who tuned in, before we get to some of their messages, I see many are tuned in on Facebook. Before we get to some of the messages, you started writing, right, during a particularly vulnerable time in your life. How did you process, or rather, how did the process of writing help you in your healing journey? And what great lessons did you learn during those sessions?
Okay, I think that's another great question. So I started writing when I was going through the valley of the shadow of death. The prognosis from the medical team was that, you know, very little chances of survival.
Yeah.
But as I wrote and as I spent time with God and as I learned to experience a new characteristic of God in the valley of the shadow death, I realized that it was beneficial for me to get to know God personally and deeper, because every time that I felt him there, so the feeling of feeling God is when your heart is open to feel him. God is always in the room.
Yeah.
And so I knew that it was beneficial for me to always be consciously aware of God being in the room. And I knew that I had to change whatever God wanted to unlock or take out from me so that something else could be replaced. So I learned these commandments, like I recited it. I knew I don't ever want to be known as an adulterer. I don't want to lie. I don't want to slander. I don't want to make somebody feel bad when they walk away from me. So I learned these commandments and I inquired from him what, when, and how to act on it. Very important. What, when, and how to act upon it. And so I started worshiping God with my whole heart. I no longer was stuck in that imposter syndrome. You can't lift up your hand because people know what you did in the past. I started serving him because guess what? I see him in the room with me with my spiritual eyes. And if God is in the room, the King of Kings, then I'm going to serve him with everything inside of me, because you don't know how ugly my heart used to be. So that is what I then did. And I became faithful in my conduct to God, not to man.
Ooh,
I need to say that.
Yes.
I became faithful in my conduct to God. And it's not a lonely road. It's an alone road. Because you need to be separated from man to be faithful in your conduct to God.
Yeah.
Because there's distractions that you need to separate yourself from. So, and then lastly, I think what I can also mention, I believed in God's promises concerning me. I started believing it and I started taking it as my own. So once I started believing God's promises, there's a different confidence that you have. So, Sake, I feel that we can step into the room and we can diffuse whatever negativity with the spirit that God has placed inside of us. And we ignite the positive presence of God because we are unbiased and we treat everybody the same. And we respect everyone, not for the choices that they've made, but because they are God's child.
Come on.
You know? So we just need to understand that we are extensions of God living on this earth. And so the body of Christ is what brings the kingdom of God now in the world where the enemy thinks he is domain, but God has given us authority.
Come on.
And so we will be fruitful and multiply if we just trust him in his word.
Yeah, if you stand on the truth that is found in his word. Now, what advice would you give to someone who's tuned in this morning, who is yearning for change to come, yet they are still struggling with guilt, the effects of loss or soul-crushing resentment due to abuse or even rejection?
Sure. I mean, as you listed the things that people get stuck in, I can relate to that because I was there myself once. It's so easy for the enemy to kind of twist our minds. And I want to say it today, just start with God. With the process of renewal through unlearning and then learning something new, we need to deepen our relationship with the Creator first. And that is that intentional conversations with God, the intentional moments with God, that if God tells you when you're busy cleaning the house and he says, go and spend time with me in your room, leave everything because you might just miss a moment where God shares something deep with you in the moment, that you literally just embrace Christ in your new identity and be acute your ear need to be tuned into what the Holy Spirit is saying yeah. all the time. So practice that. It's a practice thing mm-hmm. because the more yes. you do it, the more you feed it, the more it grows. And it's about seeing what God knows. Seeing what God knows. Find a mentor, somebody who has walked the journey, because mentors has the ability to see with their spiritual eyes. I had a mentor. He saw Pastor Vivian Ricks. I yeah. honor you, man of God. He saw the Liesl that I'm living today when I was just like broken in my mess. I knew I loved God, but I couldn't see past. So I just served. I served. I wanted to serve in the church. I wanted to clean the toilets. I just wanted to serve because I needed to become more humble before the Lord. So find yourself a mentor. And I think last but definitely not least, my sister queen, my brother, live out your faith by striving to obey God's commandments. Sure. The Bible gives us a blueprint of how we need to live in excellence to God. Mm. And so if we just understand what God says in His Word, then we don't need to go to Google or whoever exactly. to kind of find guidance. The blueprint is there. Mm. But we need to connect with it and exactly. we need to be intentional with it.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. And how else will we know the will of God, His commands, if we are our heads are not buried in His Word?
In His Word. I love how you put it. Our heads must be buried in the Word, because that is where the enemy comes. Exactly. He infiltrates our thoughts. Yeah. He infiltrate our whatever comes into our head with what we see.
Exactly.
So we need to see what God wants us to see. And yeah, what exactly. He wants us to hear. Yeah.
Sure. Powerful. 1146 0617981075. Luther says, who's Psyche? The conversation just touched me. How can I get a hold of Liesl for our trials and tribulations are big, but we serve a very big God? We'll get to that a little bit later. Yeah. Kenny, the queen, is tuned in.
My sister queen.
Saying my tears is rolling. Thank you, Liesl. Always inspired by your vulnerability. Thank you so much, Queen.
Thank you, Queen.
And someone just confirming, good, I also have a mentor.
Very important. Mm. I mean, we cannot understate the value of a mentor, because it's somebody who has journeyed before. Exactly. But also know a mentor needs to have journeyed before, but also be spiritually equipped
yes.
to deal with whatever it is that you are stuck in.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. Now, you know, you have talked us through your journey of how you have learned and embraced change. You know, and I, you know, it really warms my heart to say that you are truly a living proof. You know, that when we rest under the sovereignty of God. Yeah. Our lives become a worship.
It's
and
true.
I see you, true. When I see you stepping into a room, how you speak to me, how you point to my life, I see someone who is worshiping God.
Yeah.
And it, I feel blessed. I'm blessed that, you know, I'm have close proximity to you. But
yeah.
What are some of the virtues that have changed your life for the better, Liesl, and now make you embody an eternal perspective on life in general and on things?
I think, yeah, maybe I've touched on this before, but really the faith beyond what I see and what I experience, because it speaks to the Word and the promises that God has already given to me. I think breakthrough only happens when... So when you do that, then when you experience the breakthrough, then your faith then expands as well. So you need to start seeing beyond what you see and experience. So that is my faith. And then I think secondly would be my gratitude for living a life that was given to me, where I literally didn't have to do anything remarkable first to obtain it.
Yeah, sure.
I didn't have to do anything for God to come to me and say, Liesl, let me just embrace you and feel me. I just had to be broken there and allowed Him to take me in the brokenness and experience Him. So I'm gratitude that I'm living a life for Him now, or grateful that I'm living a life for Him. And I think the third thing maybe would be the fact that He's given me courage to pursue the promises that He gave me.
Ooh.
That I'm taking risks that I never would have thought I would take when I was still working for corporate.
Yeah.
And how through doing the... It's not even a risk. Because if God says it, then it means it's an instruction,
exactly.
right? But for the world, it looks like a risk. Mm. So the courage to actually do that and then trust God, because he said, you will either learn how to fly or I'll give my angels charge to watch over you. Yeah.
Yo, my goodness. Sure. That is so powerful. I love how that word is always like circling back to you now.
The now, yes.
Oh, either gosh. Reminding you of what he said then, yeah. Or just confirming his then word to correct. You in the moment.
Correct. And that really speaks to how God's word is perpetual. When a word is spoken, there's an echo that goes from generation to generation. Same like the echoes of, you know, the slanders and the whispers that used to keep me back. God's echo is what keeps me standing now.
Sure.
Yeah.
Beautiful. That is so profound. Well, let's have a look before I say goodbye. Roslyn says, just this morning in my worship time, I asked God that I could please
hear his voice.
I pray that he would make it very clear that I would not even doubt.
God's voice is visible everywhere, even in the sunrise in the morning.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Kenny again saying, Liesl, you're talking about unlearning. Can you please unlearn your obsession with coffee?
Your sister Gwen. The Lord has not told me so I won't.
You'll continue to indulge.
You're kidding.
Oh my goodness. Sister Queen, as we are wrapping up, or before that, there's another message. Leanne says from Facebook saying, morning, Miss Liesl, thank you for your beautiful soul. Your words are touching deep. May the Lord rather continue to bless you. FYI, we need a workshop with you.
Sister Queen Leanne, you can make contact with us and then we will schedule one with you.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Before I let you go because of time and today as we are wrapping up, this one we actually focused on behavior influences, right? And as we are wrapping it up, about to start a brand new month, any closing remarks with regards to behavior influences?
I think I'm just going to keep it short, is that God gives us the behavior that we need to model.
Mm-hmm.
And all we need to do is go to his word. The fruit of the spirit is very clear. His commandments are clear of what we need to do in terms of to follow him and to give glory to him.
Yeah.
We just need to make it a daily pursuit to actually do it. And if we don't do it right today, we try again tomorrow.
Come on.
Yes.
Quickly, where can we really find you?
So people can connect with me on social media. It's Ken Sukuroi Consulting. It's KINTSUKUROI - consulting. And you can send me an inbox or you can email me on Liesl@KenSukuroi-consulting.com.
Fantastic stuff. Yolanda Adams, I'm going to be ready. Why this particular song?
There's a line that says, faith beyond what I see. You know what's best for me. So I'm taking it all back because, yatta, it's true. Still now.
Sure.
And that's why.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, my sister.
You're amazing. Thank you so much.
God gets the glory.
Yes, all the time.
All the time.
My goodness. Before we can have a listen to that one, I want us to quickly pay our bills and straight after that, I'm going to be ready.